Sitting there thinking as the lions were singing, they were just newlyweds out in Gospel Center. I think just I don't know how long since you'd married, but no kids, I know that. They could sing about that good then. But there's a maturity and a leading of the Spirit. God bless you. Appreciate your family. Amen. It's been a good day in camp meeting. Good people's meeting. Hey, man, if you missed that, you missed the start of the day. And it's been the Bible studies. God is helping Brother McElwain. Amen. What does it mean to be holy? I left that Bible study this morning. Lord, I want to be more like you. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Wherefore he is not ashamed to call them his brethren. I don't want the Lord to say that's one of mine, but. Amen. Thank you, brother. And Lord is just helping Brother Doddrell. I tell you the steadfastness, but examples he gave there this afternoon. And amen, that ought to encourage us just to keep praying and holding on and witnessing and expecting God. Amen. God's not done. And we're part of the church, and he's wanting to work through us. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That includes us. Ooh, glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, what does God have for us? Only he knows. Amen. Let me just say it's been good to have my folks here, brother. And dads, many of you I know have dad's book because I've sold them to you. But if you don't, now's a good opportunity not only to get one of dad's books, but to get his signature, autograph. Dad has a neat way to write his name. I've tried it, but it doesn't look the same. But we recommend the reading, recommend the life. Amen. If that won't do more for you than a Big Mac, we'll pray with you. Amen. Well, glory to God. I want to invite you to turn to Exodus. Invite you to stand. Amen. Tell someone you're glad they're in camp meeting tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody, not everybody, but that's good. I'm glad you're in a friendly mood. Amen. It's wonderful to have fellow pilgrims to walk the journey with. Thank the Lord. Exodus chapter 25. God is establishing here the worship, the tabernacle worship. He is explaining his will more perfectly to man. Now, the fullest expression of God's will and love was when Jesus came. And love has never been described better than as the Son of God hung on the cross for us. But here God is revealing more his will. And that's one of the blessings of of maturing is you get more out of some of these things than you used to when you was younger. But anyway, this is in the tabernacle, the mercy, the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 17 is the lid. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work. Shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. Huh? And there I will meet with thee. And I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Praise God. Pray for us, Mutcher.
Father, we're grateful that you've always had a plan.
That's right.
In your holiness, your awesome justice, we find.
Almighty God.
And we thank you for it. And hear the
Almighty God tonight.
Atonement couldn't be placed.
Praise God. Praise God. There's a reconciliation. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight as best I can, and yet limited and unable, about the glory. On the mercy seat, there was a light, the Shekinah. It wasn't by oil, it wasn't by candle, it was the glory of God. Other religions have had other things, but none of them have had the Shekinah. Israel stood out. Now, as we speak here tonight about the glory, and we'll be back and forth, and sometimes talking there on the mercy seat, and then also about when God just overflows upon us, His presence in a most real way. We don't seek phenomena. We seek Him. But in seeking Him and in Him pouring out Himself, phenomena sometimes happen. Now, I have never seen the blue haze. I've heard about it. Brother Ray West told about his father, Sam West, in a revival up west of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 6-week revival, and above the belfry there was a little cloud the whole 6 weeks. Well, that's phenomena. We can't tell God what to do and how to do it, but I tell you, we seek Him. And He is the glory. It's not a light that makes the glory. It's Him. It wasn't gold that made the glory. It was Him. And He still does today. I want to look at four things here about the glory. The glory revealed, the glory revealed, the glory removed, and the glory returned. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. Now, they haven't even got across the Red Sea yet. They've left the Delta area of Egypt, and they're coming down by the Red Sea on the Egyptian side, but they haven't got across the Red Sea. They're still in Egypt. Chapter 13 and verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. Well, if there's any type in that, it's prevenient grace. He's making a way for the sinner to get to Him, to get out of Egypt. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Amen. Part of that included Sinai, but it didn't end in Sinai. The wilderness wasn't their inheritance. He had a land. There was another crossing. There's a second work of grace into the inheritance that God has for us. Inheritance of holiness. Praise God. We see in Exodus chapter 39. Now, God had given Moses had been up to the mountain back and forth. And in Exodus chapter 39, they accomplished it and did it all. And so now is put it together an inspection day. Chapter 39, verse 43. And Moses did look upon the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Praise God, even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. Praise God. Moses blessed them. They done it just like God told him and He told them. But there was a greater blessing. Chapter 40. Well, the end of verse 33, where they raised up the tabernacle, and it says, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Their obedience, they had done everything God told them to do. And now it wasn't Moses blessing them, but it was God's blessing. And the glory came down and filled the temple. Praise the Lord. We see that His presence continued with them. There was the cloud over the pillar of fire. But after they got the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory was on the mercy seat. Sometimes, and it mentions, we could mention verses, sometimes God spoke out of the cloud. Sometimes He spoke off of the mercy seat. We were at the Eureka Springs, Arkansas replica of the tabernacle, and that's very interesting. And the one time we went there, there was a rabbi that was our tour guide that day. And he said something that was very interesting. He said, now this is not in the Bible, but it's part of the Jewish tradition that on the Day of Atonement, and they took the blood and sprinkled the mercy seat. There was never one drop of blood they had to clean off of the mercy seat. They said that the light of his presence recedes. He received it. He accepted it. Well, I can't prove that, but I sure like the sound of it. Oh, thank God. The blood. There was a lamb that was slain later on who took away the sins of the world and sat down. There was no chair in the tabernacle because your work was never finished. But when he finished his work, he sat down. Glory to God. It was finished. Praise God. Let me just make a note. Blessing is the result of obedience. We don't obey just because we're so blessed. In fact, I like what the Lord said there in Numbers 28. He said, now if you obey all these commandments, he said, there will be times when my blessings will overtake you. Amen. You're not really expecting it right then, and it just overtakes you. Well, you've got your obedience. You're walking in the light. You're walking with him. Praise the Lord. He said, my blessings will overtake you. Well, thank God. Let me just note. Now, this is God's glory revealed to man. There's glory killing questions. Moses could have said, Lord, why 2.5 cubits? Why does it have to be shittim wood? I'd rather use oak or walnut or God said, take this one and make it blue, and that one and make it red, and this one and make it white. And Lord, why does it have to be that color? I'm talking about glory killing questions. Moses could have killed the glory, and we can kill the glory when God starts speaking to us about matters. Lord, why does it have to be badger skins? They tell us that's not badgers like we know, but it was of the antelope family that lived in the desert there. I don't know. That's Smith's Bible Dictionary says that. Lord, you know these cows are a lot bigger. We got sheep everywhere around here. Think of all those offerings we've made. We could take those sheep hides and make... Oh, no, that's not what God said. When God says something to you, he's revealing something to you.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't give us a lot of options. When he reveals something, he's revealing his will to us. It's your privilege. God's not a picking on you. It's your privilege when God begins to speak to you. Why, he speaks to us about matters of how we look and of matters of where we go and what we do and who we're with. God talks about a lot of things. Some of them are in here, and some of them he talks right in here. But when God reveals His will to us, we're privileged, and it's the road of blessing. Yes. And it's part of our personal relationship with Him. Thank God. There is a relationship between our attitudes of obedience and the glory. Hebrews 13:21 talks about doing that, which God likes. He does, but that which pleases Him? But more than that. That which is well pleasing. How good it is to get over into the well pleasing. Just because, who was it mentioned about the heavenly bridegroom? Just because the heavenly bridegroom has whispered His desire into our ear. Amen. We want to do that which is well-pleasing to Him. Not just cut it on the line where it just barely will get by and satisfy the letter of the law. Don't expect blessing in that kind of obedience. But there's a well-pleasing that goes above and beyond. Amen. Congress gives the medal for beyond the call of duty, I believe it is. We might ought to pass a few of those out in the church. Thank God for those who aren't just kept on the letter. Well, I just got to do what God wants me to do, but I wouldn't dare do any more. Something wrong with that idea. I don't think you're in very much love with the bridegroom. Talking about that which kills the glory. But when He reveals it, the blessed way. Secondly, we note the glory reveled. I'm just kind of following the R there. That's kind of unusual for me. But it's that which is, it's to be enjoyed. His glory. You can't enjoy that. You won't enjoy anything. Not even the cherry on top. Amen. Isaiah said to Israel, cry out, shout. You've got a reason to shout. Nobody else got a reason to shout. Amen. The King of Glory lives with you. Praise God. That's a reason to shout. Brother was talking about that separation. There God told Israel that He brought them out that He might bring them in. Separated them from that He might separate them to. Thank God. God wants us to be His people, Him be our God. I read here just the other day too, there in... where did I read it? They were not a people, but are now the people of God. I'll tell you what, most of us don't have blood family blood. But there's that which comes through the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us one. We feel a part of. We rejoice when they rejoice. We weep when they weep. Amen. Because we're the family of God. Thank the Lord. The tabernacle was a tent until God moved in. It became the tabernacle. Glory to God. It wasn't all the glory of Solomon. It wasn't even the beautified glory of Herod's temple. But it became the tabernacle, the sanctuary, a spatial part of history because God was there among His people. My friends, I want to tell you, our little churches may not be like the Glass Cathedral or some other well-known structure. But if God's there, it's more than a building. Amen. When He comes to dwell within us, we're more than just a man. I like that old song. I think it's 394 in the old Praise and Worship. He has come, He has come. The Comforter has come to abide. He has made my heart His home. The Comforter has come to abide. My heart His home. Well, yes. Glory be to God. God does want to dwell in buildings. Yet Paul nailed it down. We're the tabernacle. We're the temple of the Lord. Where God wants to dwell is in a heart that's given wholly to Him. The song that says, if I had 1,000 more lives, Lord, they'd all be Yours. Have it all. Glory to God. Praise His name. There in Exodus chapter 33, when Moses leading the children of Israel out, Moses said, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. Went on there. This is Pastor Chris King. He preached on this the other day, and I'm passing it on to you. He said, the Lord said to him, there's a place by Me, and invited Moses to that place beside him. Well, he passed by before. But friends, I want to tell you, God still has a place by Him. He invites us to that place. What a thought. Glory to God. When the glory of God comes. Amen. You know, well, let me read the scripture first and then we'll make a few comments. Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies cloud and smoke by day, the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, the covering, the defense. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime. Tabernacle, the tabernacle, the shadow. What's he talking about? Where the Shekinah is, the mercy seat. Shadow in the daytime from the heat, for a place and for a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. There was a guarding of the glory. Yes. Oh, friends, in our lives there's a guarding of the glory. That which is more precious than anything else. Yes. Yes. That which we don't cast before swine, Jesus said. Amen. That which is on a higher plane than that which is living for the flesh. And the expressions of the flesh. And the image of a fallen, corrupt, and doomed world. But oh, we guard that treasure. That precious. Amen. Yes. In a revival meeting down in Princeton, Indiana. Brother Larry Meadows. And he was talking. God came and He said, you know, He said, for 2 years we've had a most unusual moving of God in our church. Right. Well, now that is unusual.
Yeah.
Not every service. But he said every week somewhere. He said sometimes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe in the prayer time, maybe singing, maybe preaching. Somewhere God steps in. He said when God steps in, we step back. He said it started, I haven't talked to Larry for quite a while, but he said it started when we was going to have a revival. Some mentioned let's have Archie Atwell, some mentioned Tom Bell, and some mentioned Paul Dragoo. Someone said, well, we like them all, we got confidence in them all, let's just call all three of them. Well, now that's going to be an unusual revival. They were all praying and expectant. Come down to week of revival, and Brother Atwell called and said, well, he said, I believe it was his wife that was going to have a surgery, but said, you've got Brother Bell and Brother Dragoo. You guys just go ahead. Right up close to revival, Tom Bell called. Some kind of a crisis, I forget what it was. He said, I can't make it, but you've got Brother Atwell and you've got Brother Dragoo. Down to one. Brother Dragoo called. I think that's when he was in some of his surgeries. You know, he's had tremendous. He said, not doing too good and got to go see the doctor, and it looks like another surgery. He said, but you've got Brother Atwell and you've got Brother Bell, so it'll be all right. So here they didn't know what to do with too many, and now they don't have any of them. He never said a word to anybody. I wonder what God wants to do now. He said it came the night of revival, people gathering in. People said, well, did they all sell their RVs? Service time. They're all late. Brother Meadows got up, told you what I've told you. Said, I don't know what to do, but we're going to pray. Said they went to prayer meeting. After they prayed, someone suggested, we take an offering. We've got confidence in all three of them. They all have real needs. Let's take an offering, one offering, split it three ways. He said, we took that offering. One of the three ways was more than that they'd ever given in any revival. Sent letters of appreciation, sent it out to the people. Revival's over. No, revival just begun.
Yes.
He said, God has moved in our church in a most unusual way.
Amen.
You know, we don't always know how God wants to work, but if we can just follow Him, if we can guard the glory. He said whenever the glory comes, we just let God take over from right there. Amen. Nothing is more important when the King steps in. Amen. I thought that was worth passing on about guarding the glory in our lives. I don't have to tell you, friends, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. His blessing doesn't just happen in our lives. We have to guard it. Oh, but when He comes, the melting, the humbling. You know, we are most alive in the glory. Most alive. An experience stands out to me right now in Frankfort, Indiana, up at the Victory Chapel. Stuart Wheeler, Stuart and Mary Ann, out in Gospel Center now, but little girl then, I'm not sure if it's the last one maybe, but she was about 6 or so at that time. Other people were expressing joy, a few were walking around, and this little girl, I guess it was God. I wasn't convinced at first. But anyway, she starts walking around, and what I thought, copying what others were doing. Well, nothing too bad in that. I'd rather my kids and grandkids copy the Shouting Saints than a lot of other things people are copying. Anyway, this little girl started around. Next time I saw her coming around, she wasn't watching everybody else. Tears were streaming down her eyes, from her eyes. Next time she came around, she was running. The next time she came around, she would shout, and then she'd go over like she was going to kneel down. Run a few steps, raise her hands and shout again. I've never seen such a small child so under the glory. Oh, God was working that night. Her unsaved brother was there. They'd all been praying as the only service he is in. They were burdened for him. That little girl, I don't know what all she was telling God, but God was hearing it. Amen. You say, well, I don't shout like somebody else. No, and nobody else does. Some people, they kick in about 60 miles an hour when they shout. Some don't shout at all. Some are quiet. Tears will roll down. Some will hoop and holler. You know, I don't know what blows your whistle. But there's all kinds of whistles. But what I do say, if you never have an overflowing, you better get concerned about your own soul. There's times God wants to pour in more on you than you can contain. I've heard people say they had to pray that God would shut it off or it's going to die. Well, I haven't got that far. Thank God we can know what the glory. Praise His holy name. Friend, that which is encourages the glory, let's encourage it. Yes. That which hinders the glory, cut it off. Cut it off. Amen. And when you get there, all we go through to get into the King's face and into the glory, and don't just hurry away. Well, He came, so now we can go. Let's let Him do His work. Let's soak it up good. There's going to be some dry days ahead. We need to, like the rain needs to get down in the subsoil, we need to get the glory down into the bottom of our soul. Amen. We're not going to be in camp meeting every day. Amen. Let God do His work. Well, what a joy when we can revel in His presence. I want to mention the third one. I feel like it's part of what God wants me to do tonight, and that's the glory removed. Let me just say first, if you're guarding it, that's what you're guarding it, that it won't be removed and leave. If it's as precious, you keep the glory precious as it ought to be. It doesn't have to leave. He's there. Sad day. When Ichabod was born, the ark was taken. Two sons of Eli were slain. Eli was on the wall when he heard the ark was taken. He fell off backwards and he's dead now. I forget which one of them's wife was delivering. They said, a son is born, and she called his name Ichabod. The glory is departed. What does it matter if a son was born? The glory's gone. God bless that dear soul. I've seen churches where Ichabod was written over it. There's a camp meeting. We were down in, I'll just say, the state of Texas. Vicki and I were going to visit a friend that we had met in New Guinea and was going in, out to their place. And we drove by this old campground. Over the platform was still the clear sign, holiness unto the Lord. It had been an old holiness camp. Years and years and years ago. The sides were still up. The piano was still there. The pulpit was still there. The pews were there. The songbooks were there. There were even out under the trees where they had all day meeting, you know, and they'd bring food and put on the tables that string between the trees. Even there's still some plates and pots around. Dust had covered it all. It had been merciful if God then had sent a tornado through there and wiped it out. We looked at each other, almost wanted to find out who it is and give it a proper burial. It was a sad testimony to that area, a half a mile down the road. A big, huge Baptist church. And here's a little holiness camp meeting dusted over. Oh, something just cried and sank. Friends, we got to guard the glory. I don't know the history of that. I don't know why everybody walked out and never even collected the song. I don't know what the story is. Probably don't want to know. But I'll guarantee you this much, the devil was involved in it. It didn't end in glory. Friends, if we let Baal move in, God will move out. If we want in charge, God won't be. We can let everything become commonplace until we lose the holy awe. Now, I'm not saying this New Guinea pastor did it all right. I'm not saying he did it all wrong. He had a situation in which everybody, kind of the time, you know, when everybody had a song and everybody had a verse and everybody had a message and everybody had something. But God. And I'm kind of hobbling, so I'm not going to go too far, but you'll get the thought. He started going like this, and he went from side to side, back and forth across that platform. He said, "You all wondering what I'm doing? Just watch." Back and forth. He said, "Now I have just strung a bunch of barbed wire up here. No one's invited to this platform unless I invite you." Well, you say, now that's kind of tough. You know what? He had a situation where the glory had gone out. Nobody had respect for God or everything else. It was all just getting into a hoopla. Let's establish God's boundaries. Let's put some holy awe. Let's put a mark where God is. This is God's desk. This is God's man. This is God's word. Amen.
Amen.
We can get too commonplace. The casual breeds carelessness. You say, well, preacher, maybe you're just getting too old and a little old foggy. Well, friends, it's more than just preference. I believe there's something to it. The casual breeds carelessness. It's not all in being starchy, but there's a respect and honor. It's a cool thing, a mod thing, to be casual. I received an invitation from a big organization. They was coming to town and they sent out word they wanted all the churches to participate. But one of the instructions was, pastors, don't wear a tie. They got the message. We want this thing casual. As it ended up, preachers in t-shirts and shorts. And they got the message, got their crowd. Lord, help us.
Yes, sir.
In the days of King Rehoboam, they were overrun and the gold shields and targets were taken out. We were proud of all of our wealth and all of the shiny gold, and it's somehow glory. What are we going to do? So they molded brass targets and brass shields and get some fellas out there a polishing them up. Now gold shines. Brass will shine if you really polish it up, and it loses its shine pretty quick. But it can shine. So here they're shining them up. People come in, we got shiny targets. We've got shiny shields. But they weren't the same. And if we're not careful, we'll try to duplicate or imitate or where God has been, we're going to do something. We might have emotion, but it won't be glory. It won't produce what the glory produces. It won't melt and humble what the glory does. So as the glory departs, the spiritual lights go out. Now, Lord gave me, started stirring my heart. I sleep pretty good till 3 o'clock. And that's good. I mean, I can go to bed and a few breaths, I'm out. My wife says, how do you do it? I said, how do you not do it? We're wired different. Doesn't mean I stay asleep. But in the early hours of the morning, God began. Somebody mentioned this today, but Ezekiel chapter 8 is the glory departed from Israel, Judah. Ezekiel was over in Babylon, captivity. He went in around 597 B.C. Jerusalem hasn't fallen yet. But the Spirit transports him in his vision. And verse 4, he beheld the glory of God of Israel was there. He said, I want to show you something. And he takes him in the north gate. Verse 5, and there was the image of jealousy in the entry to the city. Image of jealousy. Now this is God. That's not what they said. We've got this image of, it doesn't even say who it was. Was it Baal or Ashtaroth or whoever it was? God said it was the image of jealousy. There wasn't nothing beautiful to it about God. You know, if I came home and my dear wife, I walk in the door. Now, she won't do this. I've got confidence in her. But let's say I walk in the door and she has this $10,000 necklace around her. She says, isn't this pretty? My question is, where'd you get that? Well, my old boyfriend that I used to date brought it by while you was gone. Isn't it pretty? No! Nothing pretty about it. That's the way God is about this. It could be gold image or whatever image it was. It might have been all shined up and painted up, all kind of things around it, singing and dancing and whatever. But God said, it's an image of jealousy. I hate it. God asked a question. Why are they doing such things here? Here by the sanctuary, is it that I should go far off from my sanctuary? This is the house they said I was to dwell in. Are they trying to drive me out of here? Wonder what God says about our churches. Are we making him feel welcome, or is God getting the feeling they don't want me around? Better move on, hadn't I? All right, he said, look at this hole in the wall. So he goes and sees all these creeping things and abominable beasts and all kinds of images and idols portrayed on the walls. But the shocking thing, there before these idols were 70 men of the ancients of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. These 70 ancient men were to be like the Sanhedrin, the men that stood with Moses that was supposed to help Israel bear the burden and keep it going right. What are they doing? The ones supposed to be keeping it going right, offering the incense. Son of Shaphan. Shaphan, you remember, was he was the scribe in the days of when Josiah was an early king. Hilkiah found the word of the Lord, brought it to the scribe. The scribe takes it to the king and he reads it to the king, and the king rents his garments. This is God's word. We've strayed away from what God wants. But thank God, a king who humbled himself, repented, and led the nation in repentance. And we see the last national revival. Glory be to God. Even in late hours, God can give revival. Amen. Even when judgment was already pronounced by his grandpa, had gone so far that God said, well, you may pray, but I may hear your prayer, but judgment won't be turned back now. Judgment is coming. That was his grandpa. Hey, even though grandpa sinned, he got to repent and he got to seeking God, and God came and had a revival again. Amen. Don't rationalize a revival away. Revival is always God's program. He's a God of revival. It's God's program to revive a church, revive a people, or a nation. He said, I got more to show you. Brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house. Women weeping for Tammuz, Phoenician deity. What does Tammuz have to do with the house of God? You ever wondered that? He said, I got more to show you. Come here. He brought me into the, verse 16, the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar. Now only Levites got there. So these are Levites. These aren't just men of Israel. These are Levites. The men who are to be performing the work of the Lord. 25 men with their backs toward the temple, their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. So what does God do? Verse 9, he said, sent the angels out to mark those who are sighing and crying. Chapter 10, we see something else happening. Verse 3, now the cherubim stood on the side of the house which the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. When the cloud filled God's house, God was doing something. Verse 4, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. The house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Oh, God is still among us. But wait, he's moved. What does it mean by God moving from his place? And now he's at the threshold of the door. Wonder where he's going from here. Verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house, stood up over the cherubims. Up. Now they've lifted up. They're standing up. Glory of God is ready to go. Verse 19. Cherubims lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And every one stood, that the wheels represent the Spirit of the Lord, and also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them. Now, hey, it's out of the temple, out of the inner court. Now it's over at the east gate. Wait, God, your place is in here. Don't leave, Lord. Not one cry. Not one plea for the God of Israel to come back and dwell among us. God says, I'm not going to dwell with idols. So rather than get rid of the idols, Lord, you can leave. We're keeping our idols. You have that idea, God will leave and he'll leave it with you. Oh, sad. Chapter 11, verse 22. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings. the wheels beside them, and the glory of the Lord, of God of Israel, was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city, up on Mount Olives. It sounds like he rested there. It was their last chance to cry out for God to come back. It was their last chance. God was still there waiting to hear, is there any cry for me to come back? And then he goes. It would be an awful thing to leave this message right there. Now that's a sad story. It happened in Jerusalem. It's happened in churches. It's happened in movements. Let me just stop a little bit and say, Mother Methodism, there was no brighter, purer light that has shined in Christendom than old Mother Methodism. But when she began to wane, God raised up others. Some of those daughters and granddaughters of Methodism who came up to keep the original glory. Things are happening among them now that they rose up against earlier. I wonder what God will do for them. It'll depend what they do for God. When God begins to lift, do we cry out? Or is it okay if God goes, then we can really have our way? Oh, Lord, help us. Well, lastly, the glory returned. Ezekiel chapter 43. Here he's talking about the temple and measuring the temple and all of that. But he says in verse 1, afterward he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east. Oh, all right. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Mount Olives. That's where he'd gone. Same direction he went from. Now he's coming back. Amen. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord filled the house. God had come back. God had come back. Oh, friends, I think there's an indication there. If you wake up and realize God's gone, it's not the same as it was before. His blessing doesn't bless like it did. Something is not alive within. Start looking back at the way that he left. It'll give an indication how to get him to come back. God's answer to sin is always repent. God is a God whose ear is bent for repentance, for a cry. Even to the Laodicean church, it looked so hopeless, yet he had hope. He had a remedy. Repent. Praise God. He said for him to get that eye salve. Where do you get the eye salve? Well, it's like our brother was preaching there, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Just with an open face, your eyes wide open, get to looking back at God. Get to reading into His Word.
Get to finding out who God is, how God, what God likes, how God acts, what God blesses, what God requires. Amen. It'll get us to get our eye salve on so we can see things as they really are. Not what an upside down world says. Amen. We can obey and yes our way back into victory. God can bring the glory, can return to the house of the Lord. Oh, friends, when He returns, guard the glory. Don't let Him slip again. Guard the glory. Amen. I know Ron was there. Not sure if Sam was. Story I tell. In a camp meeting, I believe, camp meeting or revival, I believe it was camp. This lady stood up and testified. She said, I'd been to Bible school, made wrong choices. You know, just because you go to Bible school, there's choices to make in Bible school. Maybe there's some seniors here getting ready to go to college. There's choices to make. Yes, sir. I don't care which Bible school you choose or feel like God wants you to go to. There's always two crowds. There's going to be those that are seeking God. There's going to be those that are seeking. You're going to make a choice. It's going to tell how it comes out on you. She made choices. Choices that no Bible school would let her stay in. Started a pathway of waywardness. Turning her back on godly influence. Not only school, but of home and church. And as time passed and she was truck driver, coast to coast, driving a truck, said many times at nights, those long hours and miles stretching out, tears start streaming down her face. I wish things were different than they are. Wish I'd have made some different choices. I wonder if God can still do something for me. And the closer she got to coming back to God, the devil started saying, you may get saved, but you'll never have the glory. Now, first of all, note who said it. You don't expect a liar to tell the truth. And you don't expect the devil to carry the message of God. God will give the glory to whoever He wants to give the glory to, and He's not going to send the devil to tell you who can and who can't. But in her soul-seeking despair, the devil had her convinced, you may get saved, but you can't have the glory. God was helping her. She stood up. She gave that testimony. She started telling about how much she loved God. God had her all. And she went, oh, 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 He's coming! I'll never forget that night. Round that church she went, just a shouting and a hooping. He'd come back. Amen. Devil had her convinced He couldn't come back. God proved Himself true to her and proved the devil a liar again. Oh, don't listen to the devil to determine what God can do. If the glory's departed, amen, God wants to come back. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. As we stand, going to ask Brother Lyons, come give a song of invitation. Amen. Oh, friends, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The devil can't give it because he doesn't have it. Amen. But you turn your heart to God. Here Mom was talking about, now looking back 73 years, God has fulfilled it all. She's not sorry a bit for taking God's way, and you won't either. Don't follow the old devil and the old liar. Amen. You say, it's been too long since I've had the blessing. Don't let it continue. Get back under the glory where the spout where the glory comes out. Get His presence back in your life. Amen. He'll do it if you will. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. As Brother Lyon sings, you step right out. Amen. Come back to Him.
Would you live for Jesus?
Praise the Lord.
Always pure and good.
Jesus,
would
we pray
you walk
tonight.
With Him within the narrow road?
Hey,
would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load?
Lord God, tonight.
Let Him have His way with thee. His power
yes,
can
amen.
Make you what you
You got the blessing, you got the glory.
And fill your soul and you will see 'twas best
always
for Him to have His way.
Sing another verse, brother. God is speaking, minding, don't listen to the devil.
Would you have Him make you free and follow
amen.
At His call?
Amen.
Would you know the peace that comes by giving all?
Oh, friends,
would you have Him save you?
It's
so
worth
that
it.
You need never fall. Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you are.
Glory
to
God. You say, I failed. Lean on Him harder. He can help you.
Can cleanse your heart and make you
praise God. There's glory.
His love
there's glory.
Can fill your soul and you will see.
Amen.
It was best for Him to have His
sing
way
the chorus again.
With thee. His power can make you what you ought to.
Glory to God.
His blood can
glory
cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way.
Free. You say, preacher, those were just little changes. If they affected the glory, they weren't little changes. Amen. All hearts free. I have no question what God wanted me to preach. My heart thrills for everyone. If you, God wants to share His glory.
Yes, He
does. He's made us heirs and joint heirs with Him. We didn't demand that. He just gave it to us. He wants to share Himself with us. Praise God. But we got to go His way. Sing the chorus one more time.
His power can make you
this is your time.
What you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Thank you, brother. Heavenly Father, I pray that you re-preach, you accomplish the purpose that you had for this message. I pray you bless every heart. I pray for that one whose heart is crying out, but the devil's holding them back. Oh God, may they seek you. May they let God have his way. Help us as we go from this house, but not your presence. Just linger with us, oh God, in your fullness among us. Give us another gracious day tomorrow in camp meeting, and we'll give you the praise. God bless you tonight. Thank you for your attention. Amen.